Hello and welcome to episode one of the Square Table Podcast. Your host here, Victoria Reffitt, along with
Kayla McKell,
Raven Kays,
and Karen Worley.
Nice to meet y'all. Hope you guys are having a great day. And first we're going to talk about our W2.0 project. So I think I might have said that wrong. I don't know. Anyways, so first we're going to talk about the programming and the planning of our project. So the question is, what program did you use and why? What was your experience with the program and the assignment? So personally, the program that I'm using is Prezi. I feel as though it's going to be a very interactive program for the students to be able to see, you know, how my classroom in the future will kind of flow and whatnot. So Caitlin, what program did you use?
I also chose Prezi because for the same reasons you did. It's very interactive and engaging for the students and the parents, and they can easily find it on the website, on the Prezi website. So you don't need to worry about like the students throwing away pamphlets or flyers before the parents get to see it or read it or anything. And with Prezi, you could like give sort of a virtual tour of the classroom and like hone in on all the different spaces you have planned out and how you'll use those in the classroom and in the curriculum. So yeah,
I'm right now we're tossing this over to Raven. Raven, what program did you use and why?
I'm using Prezi as well, just like
we're good.
Because it's engaging and interactive with the students. It's, Prezi is very user-friendly and pretty easy to use. I've used it before in the past, and I chose this as my
program.
All right, now passing the mic to Karen.
Okay, so I did mine a little bit differently. I went ahead and put my planning stage and my final product on my blog. It just seemed like it would fit really well on my website about my classroom and about how I want to teach. So it's all on there. I'm using a program called Planner 5D, and it allows you to build your classroom as a 3D model. So you can kind of look around and build it up, and it's just a really neat program.
Back to Tori here, or Victoria. I also have heard about that 5D app she's talking about. I'm thinking about using it myself. I haven't started on that yet, but we'll see how it works for me as well. Now on to with that program that you guys are using. Have you guys found any difficulties with that or successes within that? Caitlin?
Well, I haven't really found any difficulties with using Prezi because, as Raven said, it's very user-friendly. It's very easy to figure out even if you're new to it. And if you're not new to it, then it's just like riding a bike, I guess.
Raven, do you have any successes or difficulties with Prezi or any of the other information that you found?
I think it's very easy to use. It's very convenient. Like she said, it's if you don't know how to use it, it's just like riding a bike. It's really easy.
Yeah, cool. Karen, what about you?
I think this is a pretty good program, especially the 5D planner, but some of the limitations are you're limited with what kind of materials that you can use for the classroom, unless you want to go ahead and get the paid version, which would, of course, give you unlimited materials for it.
Yeah. So we have some setbacks, but for the most part, I feel like what we're using, the programs that we all have been using, Prezi being the most predominant, has been, you know, pretty easy, user-friendly, and overall, we've had a lot of successes. So I'm going on to the learning environment. So we're supposed to share our envisioned learning environment. So how do you want to, in your future classroom, provide the students to collaborate, communicate, and to create?
Okay, so in my learning environment, I've got it set up so that the students are in, their desks are in groups of like 4 or 5 students, so that a lot of the activities we'll be doing in class will be very collaborative, and the students will be able to work together and practice those communication skills and just learn leadership and cooperation, and they'll be able to create great things together.
Awesome. Yeah, personally, I'm thinking about doing kind of how our ed tech class is set up right now. So there are some, you know, areas of the classroom that have the computers, and there's also like a lounging area and maybe a part of the classroom that's kind of off a little bit with maybe a whiteboard so they can, you know, teamwork, do some collaboration there and create different ideas and things that they have or want to talk about with each other and collaborate with each other. So what about you, Raven? Any ideas that you have for your future classroom?
Since I'm going to be an art teacher, I would probably have my students work in groups of four. That's how previous art rooms I've been in are set up. And they work in groups, and they can have they work individually, or they can work on a big project together.
Anything else? All right. Thank you, Raven. On to Karen. What about you?
So my future classroom, I designed it with diverse learners in mind. I'm going to be teaching intervention specialists, so I'll have a lot of different kinds of students, from special needs to gifted and talented. And some of the things I've done were give different lighting options for my room, from like natural light to several floor lamps, desk lamps, because some of the students have sensory issues, and I think that that will really help them. Some of the other things I've done is a variety of different sized tables, so we can work in small groups, but we can also come together as a big class. The room is really spacious, so we have room to move around, do projects and things like that. And then I've also kind of created a little relaxation corner. Some of my students are still kind of regulating their emotions and might need to just chill out for a minute. So I've given them a spot there with, you know, nice soft chairs and pillows, and they can just take a minute to relax in class if they need to, and then get back, you know, to the learning and being engaged again.
Awesome. Thank you, Karen, for that insight. So next we're going to talk about the assignment guide checklist. So obviously for most presentations or, you know, papers that we have in a classroom, you're going to have a rubric. So Dr. Brewer has given us one of those. And do you guys think that you have all of the requirements and components of this program that we're supposed to be using?
I don't think I quite have all of them because I'm still in the process of working on this, but I am planning on doing them all very well. So I think the hardest thing about it is that the rubric is kind of vague on the grading, so it's kind of hard to tell what you need to do to get a certain grade. But I mean, that kind of gives us some more out of the box ways of thinking, ideas and stuff, so it really challenges us to think out of the box and be creative. And
I'm in the same boat as Caitlin. I haven't finished my project yet, but I am hoping to have 100% all of those components that are required for this project. And I'm actually pretty excited to, you know, get to play around with some technology and see what I can do and how I'll be able to implement my classroom in the future. So passing it to Raven, do you think that you have all the requirements that this program and this assignment has called for?
I'm in the same boat as Caitlin. I don't have all mine yet, but I am working on them, and I do feel like it's the grading is not very elaborate, so there's more area to be creative and like out of the box, like she said, and so I'm still working on mine.
All right, and Karen, what about you?
I feel like I have about 95% there. I've went through the planning, and I've had, you know, pictures for reference that I used when I was looking at what I should build for a future classroom. And then I've went ahead and reflected quite extensively about how I will build my classroom and why I'm building it this way. So I think I'm pretty much there. I just need to go over the rubric again one more time.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea for all of us, just to kind of, you know, look over it again especially once our presentations are, you know, almost completely finished, and just make sure that we're like critiquing the little things that need a little bit more polished. Is there anything else you guys want to add about, you know, how you've been reflecting on this project? I think overall for me, this project has been like a really good eye opener on how to use technology in my future classroom, and kind of getting the students in my class along with their parents kind of involved with technology and what my classroom's going to be about.
I think it also really prepares us for our future careers as teachers, because a lot of teachers would probably put this off until they actually have a job, whereas we're thinking about it way beforehand, and so we're going to be more prepared when it comes time to actually do this.
You guys have anything to add, Raven, Karen? No? All right. Well, this has been Season 1, Episode 1 of the podcast at the Square Table with Tori, Karen, Raven, and Caitlin. Hope you guys enjoyed. Have a good one. And God bless. Now we're here with Karen and her project for the Web 2.0 assignment. And she's going to kind of explain what she has done and kind of walk us through her project. And then we're just going to give some constructive feedback. So Karen, let's see what you got.
All right. So like I was saying, I use the Planner 5D to plan out my classroom. With this program, you can create a 3D or 2D image. And you can kind of look around, you can spin it around and see what I have here. But they allow you to pick out, you know, all the different types of furniture you want to use. And of course, you can change colors and everything like that, and change sizes, paint the walls, whatever color you wanted. I've kind of stuck with these neutral colors and pastels because it's easier on the eyes and it's easier for the students to sit and look for a long time. And the pastels are good for learning too, not too bright or in their face too much, and won't distract them from the learning environment. Like I said, I have some floor lamps here. I've got large windows for natural light, but I also have curtains here so we can close them if it is too bright for some of the students. We'll have overhead lights too, and a little desktop lamp back here. And then I have, you see, several different sets of tables, different kind of chairs in the classroom so that students can utilize these. I have some little stools back here that might be a little bit more comfortable for some students. Lots of storage in my classroom, and then lots of plants. I think that's nice to have to bring in the greenery, but it also helps, you know, keep the air clean and nice. Then I'm going to have a lot of different technology in my classroom as well. And so everyone, you know, in my ideal classroom would have their own laptop or tablet that we could take to each individual table. Now, we could be working on different projects in the classroom. I have a screen back here, and then at the head of the classroom, there's also a screen up here. And I'd like to also include a large smart board up here as well. That way, kids can see, you know, from any angle of the classroom. They don't have to turn around in their desks to be able to see the screens. And I think this is a really great learning environment for them. So what do you guys think about this?
Yeah, I really like how, because as you said, you're in, what's your major again?
Intervention specialist.
Intervention specialist, IS. I think the way that you're really incorporating, you know, the needs of your students, you know, with whether they have, like you said, sensitivity to light, you know, auditory sensitivity, all these different things that you're really taking into account and implementing that into your classroom, I think that's really awesome.
Okay, so I've got a question about the chairs. Will they be, like, swivel chairs so that the students can, like, turn around, like, the ones that are semi-facing away from the smart board? Will they be able to, like, swivel around? So,
you know what? Ideally, I would have a lot of chairs like that, and that's a concern. That's one of the ways that this program was a little bit limiting was I only had, you know, the option of, like, three different chairs to use. So in my ideal classroom, I would have a lot more options, and I would really look into and consider what kind of chairs I was getting for my students, because that is, you know, actually a really big part of your day, sitting in a chair, you know, if you are sitting there for hours trying to concentrate on work and stuff. So you want them to be comfortable, but also, you know, some students have ADHD or something, so they might want a chair that wiggles around a little bit or spins, and that helps them, you know, it helps them to be able to focus.
Now, I see that in the back of your classroom, you have a bunch of storage back there. Now, would that be for your own personal use, or would you use that for your students' items as well?
You know, I think that ideally this space would be, you know, for backpacks and coats and just to get all that out of the way, plenty of room for lunch boxes and all that. Then we have storage for books and things like that. Up here I have additional storage. I know in classrooms you just need, you know, so much room to put stuff that you only use a few times a year. So I was trying to take that into consideration with the design. Also, I've left the walls kind of blank right now, and I wanted to do that because I really want my students to decorate my walls. I want to personalize it to who they are, their art and their work, and really be able to show, you know, what we're working on in class, you know, come up with rules together that we can post, then we can make our own posters. So that was really my idea with that.
I think that's awesome, Karen. You said overall, Just looking at it too, it's like very aesthetically pleasing to just look at. So I think for your students, especially with the program that you're going into, that they'll really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, it looks very professional. Mm-hmm. And I like how you put the potted plants in there, bringing in some outside scenery.
Yeah.
I love how you're going to let them create like the rules and help participate. That gives them the feeling that they have an opinion and it matters.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Karen, very much for showing us your 5D planner of your classroom. All right. So we're here with Caitlin. She's going to go into more depth with her personal Web 2.0 project. So, Caitlin, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the project that you're doing.
Okay. So I'm a middle childhood social studies and reading and language arts major. And so in my classroom, with my Prezi to introduce myself in the classroom to the kids and the parents, the first stop on the Prezi will be me introducing myself, saying a little bit about myself, my likes, my dislikes, that kind of stuff. And then the next stop will be a big picture of the whole classroom and explaining some of the classroom guidelines, I guess. And then each stop after that, well, the next few stops, will be zooming in on a different space in the classroom and describing its use and significance in the curriculum and in the learning environment. Like, we'll have a reading nook for during reading and language arts when the kids when it's time for the kids to be reading together. And then we'll have like a technology station where we'll have the laptops and a table so that kids in like groups of 5-6 can work on their projects, which will majority of them will be integrating technology and just stuff like that. And then the last few will be the last few stops will be focusing on our final projects. So for reading and language arts, we'll be in, the students will be in groups of like 4 to 6 students, and throughout the year these groups will pick out multiple books that they want to read throughout the year, and at the end they have to pick one of the books that they've read and make a trailer for that book together. So that was the final project that I was thinking of for the reading and language arts. I haven't really come up with one for social studies yet, but I'm hoping to do something really fun with that. So if you guys have any suggestions for a social studies project.
Oh, Caitlin, you did mention using technology in your classroom, and I was just wondering, do you have any idea what programs you might want to use or how you implement technology into your classroom with your students?
Well, I'm not really very familiar with very much technology, so I'm getting used to it, but I have enjoyed using multiple of the programs that we've used in this class. Such as the Pictochart for infographics. I thought that was really cool.
Do you think that your like social studies students could use that for some of their projects?
Yeah, they could probably. We could probably. I've just thought of a final project for my social studies students, actually. They could pick one of the explorers or significant characters that we've talked about in class and create an infographic about them and about their significance and history and all this different stuff. So that might be fun.
I think that's a really smart use of technology and of the Pictochart app, because that's really fun to play with anyways, and it would probably go hand in hand with history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I also really liked how you said you were going to definitely the technology in your class is definitely going to be a big thing in your class. I really like how you take the literature that you're going to be reading, and then not only do you use technology in your classroom, but with the trailer that they'll have to make, they'll also have to, when I think about that, that they'll have to use that technology outside of the classroom too, and then also engage with kind of like a co-use of technology with their peers as well. So I think you're really taking in, engaging the students and having that co-use, kind of gets on to the framework aspects of this class.
I was actually inspired for that project from a project I did while I was in high school. For my French class, we had watched a movie completely in French, Le Comte de Monte Cristo, and we got in groups of 4 to 6, and we created a trailer for that movie and posted it on YouTube. So it was a lot of fun, and that's one of my favorite high school experiences, just because it was so interactive and engaging, and it was,
yeah. Yeah, I think that's an awesome way to incorporate, you know, technology along with the literature that you're going to be using to show that they actually know what's happening in the book and kind of their own way of describing and just, you know, physically showing what they've learned. Yeah. That's really cool.
It sounds like it was an engaging experience for you. Oh, yeah. And that's why you remembered it so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Well, is there anything else that you want to add, Caitlin?
I don't think I really have anything else to add.
All right.
Does anybody else have any critiques, any suggestions?
No, I think that's really good.
Okay.
All right, hey guys, we're back with me, Tori. I'm going to be talking a little bit about my classroom. I'm hoping to use, I haven't really started it yet. I have a layout of what my class is going to look like, just from pen and paper. But I'm hoping to use that 5D planning application that Karen was talking about as well, to kind of show that on my Prezi. So what we're looking at here is, of course, you have just the big classroom. And here's the door. And I kind of want the teacher's desk not really to be at the front of the classroom, but more almost in the midst of her students. So I kind of want it to be to the side where the students can, you know, they see the whiteboard, they see everything that's going on in the front of the classroom, but they also have access to me being the teacher over on the other side. But I also really want to be interactive with my students. I don't want to stay at my desk, you know, often. I want to be interacting with them, be walking around the room. But like Karen had too, I have some storage along the side of the room just for, you know, anything that I have in my classroom material-wise that I need to kind of store away. But if you see over here, I feel like it'd be a really good idea to have a whiteboard in my classroom with, you know, dry erase markers for students to kind of sit down in small groups and collaborate and talk about any of the projects that I'm going to be assigning to them. So I'm actually a sophomore here at Shawnee, and I'm an AYA, Adolescent and Young Adult English major, with a minor in Spanish. So I'm really hoping to possibly teach a Spanish class in the future, or English. So my goal is with that, with you know, any type of language and literature classes, you most likely are going to have a lot of projects. And I want to give my students, you know, the opportunity to choose different variations of projects to use. But I really hope that there will be a lot of visual displays with that. So over here, I have this kind of a little bit of an open spot, and I have written down project display. So if the students have anything, you know, they have done together or individually, I want to be able to put that up and praise them for, you know, doing well and for their hard work in my classroom. But as you can see here in the middle, I have three different groups of four students that are kind of in pods of desks. So I want them to be able to collaborate and also have their own personal space within the classroom, but also be, you know, close enough to each other to be able to collaborate with each other and talk to each other about the ideas that they have. Along with technology, I think it would be awesome if each of my students could have some sort of tablet, you know, Chromebook, something like that in the classroom to be able to work on it individually at their desks. And I also have up here a larger smart board. So whether I'm giving a lesson or, you know, a student is presenting something, they have access to be able to show that on a bigger picture to the classroom. So I have, you know, the desks for when we're all together, also little places for groups. So not only do I have the desk and the whiteboard little group, but I also have another rounded table with several chairs around there. And actually my thought for that, the reason why those are portrayed as circles is because I feel like it'd be a really good idea to have those like exercise balls as chairs.
Oh, yeah.
To,
yeah,
you know, that.
Yeah,
yeah, you've seen that before, to kind of keep the students, you know, able to move around and kind of just keep their energy going. And, you know, especially for any students that might have, you know, sensory disorders or, you know, just a little bit of anxiety or even ADHD and whatnot. I feel like that would really help them out too. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think another thing that the smart board could be good for is, like, if you had the students do a project like the one I talked about with my French mm-hmm. class earlier, is that, like, after they finish the project, you could put each trailer up on the smart board so that they can, like, all see them and, like, not have to look at their phones all huddled around one phone or whatever, or one laptop. They could all see it on the smart board. And
And I think that'd be a good way for them to compare their work. And, critique it, definitely.
I noticed that you have a lot of small groups in your class. And when I think about small groups, I think about group discussions. Is that something that's going to be central to your classroom?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like whether or not, whether I teach Spanish or I teach English, I feel like there's going to be a lot of literature in my class. So whatever they read, I want them to be able to, you know, form their own personal individual opinions. But I also want them to be able to kind of see what their peers think about it, too. So they'll be able to collaborate and just talk about different, you know, themes, or, you know, maybe they're struggling with one thing, and then the students will be able to talk to each other and, you know, kind of work out to see what they kind of compare and contrast, what their thoughts and opinions are of the books and different criteria that I have in the class.
Well, especially in a foreign language, it's very helpful for students to have at least one partner to practice with and to help them with their pronunciation or their grammar or what have you. So majority of foreign language classes in high schools or middle schools or what have you have at least partners, and so I think that's a really good idea.
How do you see yourself using technology in the classroom with the students?
So like I mentioned before, I really want them to be able to use, I mean, hopefully, you know, if the school has the funds and whatnot, to have their own individual laptops or tablets. One of the things that I really like that I used in my foreign language class in high school was an app called Duolingo, and it basically was a little bit of, you know, you could pick any language. Me, of course, would be, my students would be teaching Spanish. And they basically have these mini lessons each day that, you know, you can have it on your phone, you can have it in your pocket, you can grab it out anywhere that you may be, and it's always there just at your fingertips to be able to use. And in my classroom in high school, they used it as an assignment. So we would come to class and the teacher could actually be able to see all of the work that they had done and all the assignments on the app that they had done, and it made it fun. You were able to interact with taking pictures, and you record your voice on it, and you recite things, multiple choice questions and different things like that. So I think that is going to be one of the main types of technology that I use in the classroom. Not only that app, but I also want to use, you know, different variations of that app in the classroom with the technology that I have as well.
I actually have some experience with that app. I went to Spain a couple of years ago with my dad, and I learned some Spanish using that app. I didn't get fluent because it was too close to the experience, but it was very helpful in learning Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, Victoria, that Duolingo app seems like it will really extend the students' knowledge from the classroom to home, and they'll really be able to be engaged with it. I really like that you're able to record and kind of do lessons with it. I briefly used that app too, but I never really got that far into it, so it's great that you were able to do all that with it.
Yeah, I like how you use the words engage and extend, because actually not too long ago in our ed tech class, did a little infographic over the ITSE standards and the triple E, or the engage, enhance, and extend framework. And I really want to implement those into my classroom 100%. Like you said, I want to be able to engage my students. As a teacher, I want to be engaged with the content that I have. So I want to be able to pursue my professional interests and whatnot. And have the students in my class, I want them to be able to use the technology and, like, seek the information that informs and improves their practices, not only in the classroom, but also in life. I definitely want them to get the knowledge that, or get the teaching that I am giving them, and really implement that into their daily lives, not just within the classroom. And like I said, I want to extend it outside of the classroom. I want them to be able to, you know, learn and take what I'm teaching them and really just go outside of the classroom and learn a language, or, you know, see that literature and whatever it may be, and use that to their advantage outside of the classroom. So
that sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks, Karen.
Hi, guys. This is Raven, and I'm in art education, which is K through 12. My ideal classroom would be to have my students sit in groups of four, which would allow me to walk around the room and give demonstrations on how to create, for example, a coil pot or a pinch pot. Doing this would be more one-on-one, and they'd feel more comfortable to talk and ask questions if they don't understand or need me to demonstrate something again. Having them in groups will allow them to talk with their peers on their ideas of what they're doing or their art projects, and what they're doing on their art projects, or if they're working on a group project. I remember in my art class working in groups or large projects. Like one time we had to create art of like Egyptian art, and we drew from a hat what our group was making, and we got the Egyptian pyramids. This project turned out to be really fun and engaging while learning about the architecture of the pyramids. We took cardboard and we cut it out. We made three different ones. They had to be like really, really big. And so we had to borrow my sister's car to hold them back to school because we'd take it home and work on it. And we spray painted them and we drew all the lines and we tried to make them as realistic as possible. But anyway, So I would have an overhead for when looking at different styles of art or artists for my students to see the type of art and learn more about the art history and the reasons behind they were created. It would allow us to engage in conversation and ask questions as well. I'd also like to have some computers in the back of my classroom where we can create art with digital tools, and a photography center as well, because there are many ways to express ideas and feelings through art. I think I would have many posters of artists and inspirational quotes throughout my room. And I would like to have an area where I can hang the students' artwork up after they've done it already.
All right, so as an art teacher, you're going to be tasked with teaching the students art history. That's going to be on you. So how could you use technology to teach them about history, or to even let them research their own art history projects?
In the past, my art teachers, they've had videos they've pulled up, and they like documentaries on the artist, and we've just used like the PowerPoint and everything. I feel like it's kind of hard to include new ways of art because you're mostly focused on creating your own art. And so I would like to find ways to incorporate technology more into my classroom than my previous art teachers have.
Yeah, I think a really good idea for that would be using something like maybe Flipgrid, because I know that your students will have art is something that is very individualized, as well as, you know, doing group projects too. But I think Flipgrid would be really good for the students to kind of talk about their art, and then they can all, you know, collab together and be able to see why one of the students is doing one thing a certain way and how that may differ and whatnot. Talking about history, I really like how you talked about in your old art class that they implemented the Egyptian art. And I think that is a really cool way to kind of get the history perspective of it. You know, the students get to see, you know, what that Egyptian history or that Egyptian art looked like from the past, and kind of almost, you know, set themselves back to that time to kind of put them in the mentality of what, you know, those Egyptian artists might have been thinking. So I thought that was really cool.
In your classroom design, you talked about having lots of groups and things like that. One thing I would like to suggest is, you know, having a lot of lighting and really bright light so that you can see really well, and kind of different options for that as well. And then again, for storage for art, that's like, you know, a huge thing too.
Yeah, I remember we would have like the whole back walls would be cabinets, and there'd be sinks and everything back there for storage. And then we'd have two closets off our room full of storage. So we definitely need a lot of storage space for art.
I think you mentioned Flipgrid earlier, and I think something really neat would be, you know, to have your students go out, you know, in their communities and find art in the community, because art is in so many places. Paintings and sculptures that you see in front of buildings and on, you know, like the flood wall murals and things like that, and then have them extend their learning with that, talk about that. So that might be something that, you know,
the older students, you know, that have phones and stuff could go out and do.
Yeah, that'd be really fun.
Raven, do you have any idea what kind of framework you would want to use in your classroom?
Okay, so I would probably include TPAC because I would include art, technology, and art history all together and try to incorporate that into ways that would be interesting and fun for my students to learn. So overall, I think the TPAC would be best for my class.
Thank you, Raven. And this has been a fun time at the Square Table. Thanks for hopping into our podcast. Hope to see you all again and that you guys enjoyed. Peace.